The Laughter of God by Walter C. Lanyon. Chapter 13. The New Day. My ways are not your ways. A balloon that seeks a higher level must of necessity throw out ballast. Just as soon as ballast is thrown overboard, the balloon automatically ascends to a new level. Suppose the balloon to be caught in a level of air charged with poisonous gas or the belt of a terrific storm. All these environmental laws operate upon the passengers, and while they may fortify themselves with gas masks and other protective aids, yet they are never for one instant out of the danger of being overcome by them. The way of complete escape for the balloon, its passengers, is to throw out ballast. The moment this is done, the balloon automatically ascends to a new level, and it and its passengers operate in an entirely new environment. This little illustration gives an adequate idea of what takes place in man when he begins to realize the truth of his Christ consciousness. He begins to throw out ballast, that is, certain areas of evil thinking are done away with, and he rises to an environment where the laws formerly affecting him have power no longer. He begins to see the extent to which this ascension can take place in his life. The great statement, "If ye be in the Spirit, ye are no more under the law," of your belief is ever at the heights, and all he has to do is to release the evil beliefs he had accepted and to ascend. Come up higher is the call of spirit. The little leaven that leaveneth the whole is brought into active manifestation by the process of recognition. As soon as we begin to recognize the Christ self and to accept the wonders of the new life lost in Christ, we immediately begin to see new capacities built in our consciousness. We see through the fog of human understanding and begin to perceive the reality of the perfect man. As in the case of the balloon rising automatically to a new level, so man, when he recognizes his true self and accepts the laws of spirit as the only laws, automatically arrives at his new place of expression. The old idea of trying to make a new place and attempting to make things happen through struggle and fighting gives way to the glorious fact that the moment man recognizes the presence of Christ, he automatically rises to a new level of expression, and that which was true and operative in his life before now ceases to have any power over him. The prince of this world, the world you have left, the world of belief regarding anything, comes and finds nothing in you. Suppose you had believed sickness to be an inescapable law. You were then subject to the personal and the race consciousness regarding it. And every time the prince of the world or the realm of sickness came to you, you would answer back, "Here am I, speak, for thy servant heareth." The manifestation would automatically take place, and you would show forth disease and perhaps death in accordance with the belief law. Now, through your understanding of the inner Lord, you find sickness can be caused by nothing as well as by a so-called belief cause. People have died from fright over mistaken telegrams. When you perceive the fact that you are the Son of the living God, you are not subject to such belief any longer. No sooner is this conquest made than you move to a new mental environment and automatically find that the former law is nil as far as you are concerned, and when the prince of the negative belief comes to you, there is no response. Do you see why it is you are commanded to take your attention away from the body and away from appearances and place it on the inner Lord, the Christ within, and to be still and know that I am God? When you obey this command, you will find yourself automatically rising to a new and wonderful level of expression in a place where you are not affected by the former things. Many people fret and worry about expression. They claim they are ready to express, but can find no opportunity to do so. You might just as well say, when you throw the ballast from a balloon, the balloon will remain at the same level. It is automatic and takes care of itself. That is why you will cease the everlasting running to and fro, looking for something on the outside, and go within your consciousness and partake of the glorious food of spirit, and drink of the living waters, yea, both figuratively and literally. A thorough examination will tell you exactly what is the matter. You know better than anyone else. You may not want to face it. Few people like to look upon the truth. It blinds them, just as it blinded Saul. It is too wonderful and too penetrating, and calls for a letting go of many things in order that the realities of the kingdom can be made manifest within and without. It does not require the sacrifice of a single thing, but by so doing you are given an infinitely greater manifestation. Glorious, glorious light, dazzling and white, the very light which is to become flesh and dwell among you. If you are not expressing, you will find that a certain amount of ballast is to be released before you can get to the point of expression. Just as soon as you are willing, the power works and expresses. How? Automatically. When we say automatically, it carries with it a joyous meaning. You will begin to see that the expression, then, is like the coming of dawn. Everything so perfect, so easy, so gloriously successful and so unique, so full of infinite charm. Beloved, it is so wonderful, this new revelation. Come apart from them and be ye separate. Go in and shut the door, and the Father that seeth in secret will reward you openly. Why do you try to get the reward before you drop out the ballast? You make it hard. Why do you kick against the pricks? Why will you doubt? Arise, awake, get thee up. When you are willing and ready, I will do the works, and that I is within you. Your very own point of consciousness where the impersonal life flows through into expression. Those whom God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. The body and soul become one. The word becomes flesh. You are not a body separate from your Christ. You are not double-eyed. When you once see, the word becomes flesh. Yet in my flesh shall I see God. Do you believe that, right in your flesh? Do you believe that it searches the joints and marrow? Do you see that the two becoming one, instead of having two eyes, have one? Instead of having two opinions, have but one? When the eye is single, the whole body is full of light. When you stop believing in a material man with a Christ man in the invisible, you will have one, the resurrected and ascended Christ, and you will know that the resurrected Christ had flesh and bones, and ate and drank. It is wonderful, filled with glorious revelation. When you contemplate this, you immediately feel the overflow of spiritual substance watering your desert body and bringing it into freshness and holiness, expression and joy. My ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. Whose way do you want? Your way hasn't amounted to much thus far, has it? Why don't you repent? Change. A new day dawns. Do you hear, you who read? Do you hear the word of your inner Lord? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Do you know what it means to break bread with the inner Lord? It means that the eyes of the blind are opened. When the Christ breaks bread with the disciple, the eyes of the disciple are opened, and he beholds the things which cannot be put into words. He begins to see the revelation of that which is not caught by the human reason and intellect. the deep things of spirit which are filled with beauty and holiness and glorious expression, the wonderful invitation to come and see, not that a spirit hath no flesh and bones, but that a Christ man is a normal, glorious, real manifestation. It is wonderful. Do you see? Do you begin to understand the saying, "He that believeth on me hath everlasting life"? Do you believe that? And just what do you mean by the word everlasting? You must begin to answer these things for yourself and seek out the deep hidden spiritual substance, the manna that your fathers knew not, and of which, if a man eat, he shall never see death. Memory is the only thing which grief can call its own, is the line of an old song. Memory is the only thing that habit can call its own, or evil or revenge or hatred, any of the evils that the human man is subject to. You can see why it is said, "The former things shall not come into mind, nor be remembered any more." With the introduction of the leaven of Christ in the midst of the meal of human understanding, the whole mass begins to change its base and to take on a different quality. And the ballast that is thrown over is memory of evil. The subconscious mind is the storehouse of memory of every evil thing. It is filled with all the little hates and fears from the very beginning of the human life. You can understand why this will eventually disintegrate and go away, because it is the repository of all evil. Without it, man would seek no revenge. Its governing law is, "When I would do good, I do evil." And strange as it may seem, it has been given many of the qualities of the superconscious mind. We have attributed to this subconscious mind the power to do all sorts of things that it is thoroughly incapable of doing. "He watching over Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps" is what awakens you at an appointed hour, and it is this great and glorious superconscious mind that frees you into expression when you are ready to forget yourself. It is this glorious thing that plays and dances, sings and paints, and does everything that is done through millions of avenues of expression. And this is your Christ self that stands at the door of your consciousness and knocks for admission. It is too wonderful. Be still and know that I am God. The old idea of getting a mental picture and then praying and begging and beseeching, yea, even demanding that it appear, has given place to the new consciousness that knows that before the human man asks, the superconsciousness has supplied. We see a case of this kind in the incident of Jesus' meeting the disciples at the seaside after the resurrection. He asked if they had anything to eat, to which they said no. And then Jesus produced the cooked fish and bread for them. It is wonderful. Before they ask, I am, the Christ consciousness will answer. But it takes pure and unadulterated belief in God to have this take place. It does not take argument or words or listening to theories. It takes pure and unadulterated acceptance of the truth. A child can have it. What about you? Look to this day. Look to your consciousness and see wherein you do err. Who did hinder ye that ye should obey the truth? It is wonderful. Beloved, do you begin to see the glorious possibilities before you? Come eat, drink without price. Do you hear? Can you obey by throwing over the ballast of human belief and partaking of this holy breaking of the bread of spirit? No matter who you are or how prodigal you have been, it is always the same. You too can open wide the door and let this Christ into your life, into your very body temple. You too can make the resurrection from the tomb of your dead beliefs and see the glorious spiritualized flesh of the Son of the living God. Automatically it will work. I come as a thief in the night. The appearance of the Christ is not with noise nor with thinking. For in a moment when you think not, when you are not trying to demonstrate me, then the I am comes into expression. It is wonderful. Praise God, you are alive and thrilling with the new substance of life, the flesh made spirit and the spirit made flesh, the perfect redemption, wholeness. No more the sick body worked upon by an outside force, but the body of spirit substance manifesting more and more of the picture shown to you on the Mount of Transfiguration. It is too wonderful for words. You thrill with the feel of the presence of this glorious power. Awake, thou that sleepest. The spiritualized substance of the resurrected Lord is not marked by the passage of time or memory. What was true of man in his former estate is no longer real or effective. With this consciousness comes the awakening of fresh capacities and talents. You become aware of a new and wonderful power and a sense of relaxation, which is the essence of effortlessness, which enables you to give an unlabored performance of the work you have in hand. It is glorious. It is wonderful. Then did their hearts burn within them. The manifestation of the burning bush takes place, a flaming fire that destroys nothing that is real. There is found in the final analysis that nothing is left to be destroyed, but everything to be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Then will the blind understand and see, and know that they have always seen. The man of the Spirit, the Christ, has always seen all things, and when he is led into conscious expression in the life of man, he searches the joints and marrow, and the whole temple of man becomes the glorious temple of the living God. And from that moment onward, it is a matter of revelation. One limitation after another begins to fall away, and new and more glorious precepts come to light. You have just started on the process of self-revelation, and the hidden things that were there always are beginning to come into the light of reality. Be still. Be so very still. And cease from man whose breath is in his nostrils. Cease from the noisy talking individual who is always going to tell you a system or a way or means of demonstrating. I speak directly. I speak of him that sent me, and I speak a varied language. I speak with unknown tongues, unknown to those who are still heckling about the letter of truth. They cannot understand because they have a house divided against itself. They have the Christ and Jesus parted asunder. They have their body separated from their soul, and so they function under the double law which spells disaster. The human mind is perverse, for the simple reason that it has gone prodigal and formulated all its ideas by judging from appearances. It has seemingly set up hurdles over which it forces itself to jump, complaining the while that it cannot do so. All this is done in the spirit of human bravado that looks for the well done of the relative world. Be not afraid, it is I. But they were afraid, and so is the old human self. That is why it keeps on denying the Christ and will not open the door and let him in. It knows that much rubbish has to go. It knows that the activity of spirit will cause the sluggishness of procrastination and waiting to disappear. Be not anxious. You have but to open the door by recognizing the Christ within. If you are willing to do this, the rest is automatic. The Christ enters automatically, yea, the Christ, the spiritual substance becoming flesh, enters and searches the joints and marrow, the fibers and nerves and bones of the temple, until the whole house is alive with the life of Christ. It is a glory and a light set upon a hill. It cannot be hid or destroyed. Glory be to God. It is well, and so it is. You and your risen Lord, alone, and yet for the first time, not alone, wholeness, completeness, contentment. It is wonderful. The spirit has become flesh. You are free. The ballast has been thrown overboard, and you automatically ascend to the new level of expression. My ways, my ways. Just saying it within causes an upgush of spirit within you. My ways are not your ways. Aren't you glad?